The start of the NFL Combine is less than a week away, and we talked to arguably the top inside linebacker prospect, Reggie Ragland of the national champion Alabama Crimson Tide. Ragland addresses the Packers' interest in him and a whole lot more. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for the NFL Combine, now less than a week away. And like I said, we're going to play an interview today with arguably the top inside linebacker prospect in this year's draft class, Reggie Ragland. You may have read our feature on him at 24/7 Sports, published on Thursday, in which Ragland basically confirms the Packers' interest. I was surprised how forthcoming he was, and you'll hear that in this interview that we're going to air. Apologies, no episode of the Railbird Central this past Wednesday, after I kind of led you on and led you to believe there would be. I had a doctor's appointment. My apologies, but we're back on air right now, and without further ado, let's get to this. We're going to get to all the Packers coaching staff news here after our interview, but first, enjoy this with Reggie Ragland of Alabama Crimson Tide.
Expert interview. Packers news of the day.
Okay, Reggie, first of all, I've heard some analysts say you were the best defensive player at the Senior Bowl. How do you react to that kind of praise?
I just showed that I was trying to work hard out there and just be the best player I can be. I wasn't trying to be better than nobody. I was just trying to go out there and play my game and just show everybody that I'm capable of playing both positions out there.
I know you played some outside linebacker there at the Senior Bowl. How did that go?
It was a great experience for me. Just going out there and playing instead of playing in the middle, I got to play outside and take on tight ends, and then get to take on two blockers and take two for them guys out there so they can just scrape over the top or do whatever. But it was a great experience for me.
Is there a place you feel more comfortable, either outside or inside?
Just considering that I played inside backer my whole career at Bama, it's probably like my except for where I got them probably a week or so in my first camp at Bama. I played outside, but I didn't like it that much at the time. So I would say inside because I'm more comfortable with that player side to side, and I get the chance to be more involved on the field.
When you met with teams during interviews at the Senior Bowl, where did they see you fitting in?
Almost some as inside linebacker.
Yeah. Do you think you're the best inside linebacker in this year's draft class?
I don't know, because there's a lot of good guys out there, but in my mindset, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to try to be the best linebacker in this class. But I can't say I'm the best, because I'm just out there still working hard, trying to become the best. But I'm just out there working hard like everybody else is.
You know, I look at a guy like you and then a guy like Jalen Smith of Notre Dame as two of the better linebackers in this year's draft class. Do you think you have an edge over a guy like him just because you're healthy and he's not?
I don't know. It all depends what the team wants, and it all depends on whoever wants. It's all about the team wants. It doesn't matter if I got the edge or not. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what he thinks. It's all about the only thing that matters is what them teams think, and it all depends on whoever the team wants.
I know at Alabama you would spend some time both on the line of scrimmage and off the football. Do you anticipate doing that in the NFL as well, kind of being up on the line of scrimmage from time to time?
Oh, yeah. I want to show I'm versatile, and I want to show at Alabama I wish I could play all three downs, and I want to have the opportunity to come up there in third down situations and stand up and rush or even drop in coverage if need be.
I know you weighed 259 at the Senior Bowl. Are you comfortable there, and do you think you can hold up against NFL receivers at that weight?
The whole year I played it between 250 and 255, and after the championship game, I ate a little bit too much because I gave myself a couple of days off to relax, but I'm not even wearing 259 right now. I'm at 255, 254. So I'm getting my weight down to where I was playing at during the season, but I don't play it that way. That's not me.
Where have you heard you're going to go in the NFL draft?
I don't know. I really don't pay attention to that. I just really try to put myself in the best situation so that I could get. Hopefully, I get taken early as possible. It doesn't matter who I play for. I just want the opportunity to play, and whoever team picks me, they're going to get a guy that's hardworking and that's going to be on time and not going to have any issues. I'm just there to play ball and earn the respect of my teammates. I don't want to give it to me. I want to earn the respect of the older guys in that locker room and just come out there and play ball.
Just hypothetically, what would it mean to you if a team traded up to get you?
It mean a lot to me that I came out there and I worked hard through the process that they really wanted me that bad to trade up for me. So that means I really got to come in, whoever it is, if that happens, whoever it is, I got to come out there and just play hard and prove them that they made the right decision by trading up to get me.
Reggie, I cover the Green Bay Packers, and in the past couple of years, they've drafted some of your former teammates like HaHa Clinton Dix and Eddie Lacy. What would you think of joining them in Green Bay?
It'll be a great experience for me because those two guys up there, especially those two guys there, taught me a lot. I had the opportunity to play with HaHa for 2 years and Eddie with one, and those guys taught me a lot, especially HaHa. When I was going through what I was going through at the beginning of my first 2 years, not being able to play, he just always made sure my head was on straight, just make sure that I was in the right mindset going out there, and just make sure that he encouraged me to keep playing hard because he knew I had the opportunity to be good, but it's just certain things in the playbook that I couldn't get at the time on my first couple of years, and he just really just made sure that I was staying focused and trying to get it done. And just, he just really was on me, just being a great big brother to me. And I know I can call on him for anything. And I'm very happy. But and Eddie, in the case of Eddie made sure that I was making sure I was doing the right things also. And Eddie's a great guy. That's another big brother of mine. I know I can call on at any time.
I'm kind of joking here, but Eddie got a lot of attention this past season for maybe being a little overweight, and you just said you ate a little bit too much after the championship game. I don't know, is there something about the barbecue down there or what?
I don't know. He's not in Tuscaloosa; he's up there in Wisconsin, so I don't know what to say. But I know for me, I just let myself go for those couple of days and then the week or so that I ain't done doing too much. I was trying to just get healed up and just take some time to rest. But I know when it's time for me to grind and get the weight down, I'm going to get it down, and that's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, you'll find if you come to Green Bay that the cheese is pretty tempting up here. So, did you have a formal interview with the Packers at the Senior Bowl?
No, I did not have a formal interview.
What, an informal one?
Yeah, I did meet with them. And they were talking to me about that they need a linebacker on the inside. And if they had opportunity to get him, I think they would. But I'm not sure. It all depends on the draft they come. But they said they really need an inside linebacker so they can move Clay back on the outside. So if they get me, it'll be a blessing in disguise because Green Bay's always been one of my favorite teams growing up as a kid. I've had multiple teams that I liked growing up, but Green Bay's been one of my favorites also growing up as a kid.
Very good. Reggie, I wish you all the best of luck at the combine, at the draft, everything. So go get them. Run a fast 40 at the combine, okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to show everybody I can run a little bit.
Very good. Good luck and thanks much. Reggie Ragland, Alabama inside linebacker, joining us here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV for an episode of Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. Reggie Ragland, my thoughts on him. I think it would probably be tough for the Packers to get him. I'm not sure he drops all the way to number 27 overall, but then again, you never know. As is kind of common knowledge, as the Packers themselves have even acknowledged themselves, you know, they kind of prioritize a few positions in the NFL draft, as I think do many teams, and that's the cornerstone positions in the NFL. Some of the highest paid players in the NFL, guys like, the quarterback, the offensive tackles, the cornerbacks, and the pass rushers, mostly the edge rushers. The Packers actually pretty much have those, you know, cornerstone positions filled. And they could address other positions, but, you know, it's still a matter of, you know, the player dropping to them. But that's why I think there's a small chance Reggie Ragland could drop that far, because maybe other teams don't prioritize that inside linebacker position as well. And maybe he drops. Maybe. Not guaranteeing it or anything like that, but, you know, it could just be, you know, the team you think is going to take him could end up liking Jalen Smith a little bit better, and that would drop, you know, Reggie Ragland as well. We'll see how it plays out, but it'll be interesting to see him participate in the NFL Combine starting next week as early as Tuesday. I don't think the media portion gets underway until Wednesday, so that's what we have to look forward to. But continuing on with the rest of our show here.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, since our last episode of Railbird Central, the Packers have introduced their new coaching staff. Announced the finalization of their coaching staff, I believe, on Wednesday was when they, you know, released the press release. And the coaching staff included three new hires and two promotions from within. And so in addition to the previously reported hires of Brian Angelico, who's going to coach tight ends, and Ben Sermons, who's going to coach the running backs, perhaps the most notable move was naming Luke Getsy wide receivers coach in Green Bay. Getsy takes over for Alex Van Pelt, who previously was both the quarterback's coach and the wide receiver's coach this past season. And we all kind of know how that went over, and it didn't go over very well, as they saw a decline in production from pretty much both positions. And, you know, I think a lot of people wondered if he was overextended, probably perhaps taking on a little bit too much, and each position group deserved a coach of their own. And so that's why Luke Getsy is taking over. He's now in his third season with the Green Bay Packers. He was formerly, the previous 2 years, he was the offensive quality control coach. And before he came to the Packers organization, he spent the previous 7 years coaching college football, the last of which he was the wide receivers coach at Western Michigan. That's where his background is at. And now he takes over the Packers wide receivers. And as we learned in an interview with Mike McCarthy, which was published in a video online at Packers.com, the team's official website, wide receivers Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb basically gave their endorsement for Luke Getsy to get the job. Must think highly of him. And those two gentlemen, Nelson and Cobb, kind of encouraging Mike McCarthy to hire Getsy as the wide receivers coach. And that speaks a lot to, you know, what the players, you know, think of him and the respect he's earned in the short time he's been in Green Bay, the past two seasons, that they think he's qualified enough to take over that role in an NFL environment. So that was good to see. But, you know, what's interesting, perhaps the most interesting thing of all, I think, is that, you know, the two guys who, you know, apparently endorsed Getsy to get the job, Nelson and Cobb, those are the two guys who probably need the least coaching on the entire, you know, wide receiver unit. The job or the success that Getsy has is going to be largely determined on the rest of the wide receiver core, and how they develop, I guess you could say. Because, I mean, just look at all the guys he has to work with here. The guys that the Packers need good performances from. Starting with Davante Adams, who's going to be entering his third season in the NFL, who had, I would think, an okay rookie season, an encouraging rookie season, and then ended up having a disappointing sophomore season in the NFL. People expected a lot more. In fact, they were touting up Davante Adams, you know, so much, you know, a year ago during the offseason program, calling him the offseason MVP. Everybody was really excited about what he was going to offer and then never saw it, you know, when during the regular season, between the lines, never really, you know, lived up to those expectations of a second-round draft choice and taking over for the departed Jordy Nelson. So there's Davante Adams. Then you've got Jeff Janis, of course, who was the hero in the Packers' last, you know, playoff game in which he caught the Hail Mary. But not only that, had just a very good all-around game. And it was so weird because, you know, people had been clamoring for him to see more playing time all year long and never really saw it or just saw it in spot duty. And then he's got the big game, the last game of the year, and you wonder where he was all season long. And so now we got to see if Jeff Janis was merely a flash in the pan or he's a legitimate option. You've got Jared Abradaris, whose first 2 years in the NFL have kind of been very limited by injury, but definitely a lot of potential there. I mean, you could see it. He got a cup of coffee in Green Bay this past season. You probably caught, you know, what he caught, a dozen passes, maybe a little bit more than that, and you definitely see there's talent there. You understand why the Packers drafted him to begin with. I think a lot of people, you know, there's the obvious Wisconsin connection and saw him in a Badgers uniform and saw a lot of talent there. So there's Jared Abradaris, and then there's, you know, Ty Montgomery, the third-round draft choice this past year, who, you know, he had his season ended on injured reserve and never really got a chance to get out of the starting blocks. He had an encouraging, you know, first month or so of the season before he ended up, you know, spraining his ankle and never could get it right. So he was off to a good start, but, you know, just missed more than, you know, what he must have missed two-thirds of the year and never really, you know, saw him down the stretch at all and saw what he could be. So, I mean, there's all those guys, in addition to, you know, guys like Jamel Johnson, who we just had on the show here, you know, earlier on Monday this past week, and Ed Williams, who was in training camp with the Packers this year, and any, you know, rookies the Packers bring in the NFL draft or after the NFL draft this year. These are the kind of guys that are going to determine the success Luke Getsy has with the Green Bay Packers, and that's going to be the most interesting part of, you know, how he is judged as a coach and what happens there. So there was Luke Getsy. Then I think one of the more interesting stories coming out of yesterday, Thursday, was that, you know, all the coaches met with the media for the first time, kind of in a press conference environment in which they could meet them, talk to them. And you know, so you're meeting Ben Sermons, the new running backs coach, for the first time. And perhaps had an unfortunate choice of words, as he's quoted as saying, I know, by Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, saying, Eddie Lacy is hungry this year. And you just had to, I thought it was one of those facepalm moments, or at least it was for me, in terms of saying, Eddie Lacy is hungry, because I think that's the last thing Packers fans want to hear after, you know, he was called out by head coach Mike McCarthy in a season-ending press conference for needing to lose 30 pounds which the Packers supposedly want. And, you know, it's, I think there's a little bit, you know, over exaggeration in terms of, you know, how much Eddie Lacy was overweight and how much it impacted him this past season. I'm not saying it didn't impact him whatsoever, but I do think that there was, you know, he averaged, you know, 4.3 yards a carry. That's not that bad at his weight. You know, it's, yeah, I think he needs to dedicate himself a little. I think he needs to, his diet needs to be a little bit better. But anyway, you know, Eddie Lacy could stand to lose a few pounds. I acknowledge that fully. And so, yeah, I think that's the last thing people wanted to hear, that Eddie Lacy's hungry. And, of course, perhaps the better word to use would just simply have been, you know, Eddie Lacy seems dedicated to this season or something like that. It was just an unfortunate word choice. And we'll give Ben Sermons the benefit of the doubt. He's new in Green Bay. He's just learning the ropes here. We won't hold that against him, but you just had to chuckle, I think, when he said that and when that happened. And I mean, you know, it's interesting for Sermons too about the job he's got ahead of him, because I mean, he's certainly his tutoring of Eddie Lacy will get all the attention, and but there's more to it than that. But what's interesting too is that, you know, Eddie Lacy's entering his contract season in 2016, so this will be big to his future, how he performs this year, and how much that could mean to him in terms of the next NFL contract he signs, and you know, how much he can command in free agency and things like that. So that's definitely important. But, you know, Ben Sermons will be in charge of, you know, a rookie this past season like John Crockett, who shows some potential, you know, in the brief amount of time we got to see him this past season. He'll be working with the fullbacks as well. So it'll definitely be, you know, he'll have Aaron Ripkowski under his wing, who, you know, was a rookie this past year and at some point in the future looks to take over for John Kuhn as the Packers' starting fullback. So all those things will be interesting to watch, you know, as Ben Sermons develops them as well. But other changes on the Packers coaching staff, just kind of running through them here. David Ray is the Packers' new assistant offensive line coach, or David Rye, perhaps, pardon me, I think it's pronounced Rye. Kind of looks like Ray when you just looking at it, but phonetically it's pronounced differently. He takes over for Mike Solari, who was officially announced in the past week as the head offensive line coach for the New York Giants. So he leaves Green Bay, where he was the assistant offensive line coach, to go to the New York Giants on the staff of Ben McAdoo, of course, the former Packers assistant there. So a lot of Packers connections on the staff of the New York Giants. But yeah, David Rye, your new assistant offensive line coach. And new Packers defensive quality coach is Ajiro Evero. And he takes over for John Rushing, who was not retained by the Packers. We had learned a couple weeks ago now that, you know, the Packers didn't retain running backs coach Sam Gash and tight ends coach Jerry Fontenot. Well, John Rushing probably doesn't get as much attention as them because he wasn't in charge of a position, but they ended up not retaining him either. And I don't know if it was a case where they fired him. It could have just simply been that his contract expired and they decided not to renew it. So that's why Ajiro Evero takes over in that capacity for the Green Bay Packers. And he comes over from the staff of the San Francisco 49ers, I know, where he spent the past five seasons out in the Bay Area. So that is your Green Bay Packers 2016 coaching staff. Everybody else, you know, stays status quo. Still top heavy on the offensive side of the football. You've got, you know, play caller and head coach Mike McCarthy. You've got associate head coach Tom Clements. You've got offensive coordinator Edgar Bennett. You've got quarterbacks coach Alex Van Pelt. Like I said, kind of top heavy there. And that comes as a little bit of a concern in Green Bay that nothing is changing there. Like I've said before, perhaps too many cooks. And I don't know what the Packers do about it, with the exception of parting ways with someone. I guess they don't want to do that. And I'm not sure how they avoid, people getting in other people's business or overstepping boundaries or things like that. I think it's a delicate balance. But if they're good coaches, you want to keep good coaches. And I think that's what the Packers are wanting to do, at least, and trying to keep it that way. So we'll see how it works out. But last segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Friday, not a whole lot. We're here in the off-season portion of the season. The 2016 NFL NCAA Coaching Academy gets underway today. That takes place out in Tampa, Florida. It's a three-day event in which the NFL and the NCAA is preparing the next generation of coaches for future jobs, and includes something like, 50-some people are out there learning and networking, and 26 of them are former NFL players. But the keynote speaker, or one of the keynote speakers for that coaching academy, is former Packers head coach and general manager Mike Sherman. So there's your Packers connection for what's happening today, this Friday, in the world of the Green Bay Packers, or a connection at least. Like I said, we're stretching here in the off-season portion of the NFL calendar. But if we're looking at the immediate future here, though, over the weekend, in fact, on Saturday, tomorrow, an NFL regional combine is being held out in Arizona, at, I assume, the facility of the Arizona Cardinals out there. Of course, next week the regular, the big NFL scouting combine takes place. But, the NFL now has all these smaller regional combines all over the country. There's about, five of them maybe, and one being held this weekend in Arizona. For all the guys who were not invited to the NFL combine, this is an opportunity for them to, strut their stuff in front of NFL scouts, and I'm sure the Packers will have a representative out there, and and see what happens, see if there's any guys that catch their interest. Because of course we know all the time there are guys that are not invited to the combine that end up doing, good things in the NFL. Maybe they're not studs, but I mean, just look at the guys. A guy like Sam Shields of Green Bay, I don't believe he was invited to the NFL combine, and is now really one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL. Certainly not the best or anything like that, but he's the type who was never invited to the NFL combine. Or just look at some of the guys who are on the roster of the Green Bay Packers right now, or who were rookies this past season, like the offensive lineman they just signed to a futures contract, Matt Rotherham, was never invited to the NFL combine. And, he's got a bright future with the Packers. Christian Ringo, the defensive lineman, not invited to the NFL combine. Kennard Backman, the tight end, not invited to the NFL combine. Aaron Ripkowski, I don't believe, was invited to the NFL combine. So all these guys, certainly not, we're obviously, they're not first round caliber, but there's all these guys who, maybe just weren't good enough to get to the combine, but still good enough to play in the NFL. And that's where they go find them and see how they do and see how they work out and see how they potentially fit in. So that's what we're looking forward to this weekend in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everybody so much for joining us today. Thank you to Alabama linebacker Reggie Ragland for taking a few minutes to talk to us. And letting us know about the Packers' interest in him, and we'll see how things play out in the NFL draft. Thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend. We'll be back again on Monday. My call to action is always as usual. If you've not done so already, please give us a rating or a review on iTunes. Just go search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. And we'd really appreciate it because this show is free of charge. No subscription, no paywall. It's the one small thing we ask in return. If you do that, we'd greatly appreciate it. We'll see you, folks. I leave you today with a song called Words by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone. Go, Pack, go.